We are in the days between Pentecost Sunday and the Solemnity of the Holy Trinity. So naturally, our thoughts are raised up to higher things, spiritual mysteries. In fact, the Holy Trinity is the central mystery of our faith. That doesn't mean that we leave material things behind or we forget about our responsibilities in this world. There are some religions that separate the material world and the spiritual world. There are people who think that if the spirit world is good, then the material world is bad. But that's not Christianity. Christianity celebrates the presence of God in the world. In fact, God became man. He walked on this earth. When God sent the Holy Spirit to fill the hearts of believers, he didn't do it so that they would no longer be in the world. He did it so that he would be in the world through them. That's what we celebrate with Pentecost last Sunday. Go out into the whole world and proclaim the good news. Start with Jerusalem and go to the ends of the earth. Don't leave the world behind. Infuse it with the presence of God. So our thoughts are raised up. Yes, we have a higher perspective. But with that perspective, we look at the things of this world as well. So in today's readings, the reading from Sirach, first reading, speaks about how to evaluate our legacy, you could say. What happens? What do we leave behind? And then in the Gospel, we have this well-known event of Jesus cleansing the temple, and the less well-known event, or the more curious event, of his cursing of the fig tree. Seems like a very earthly thing. What does that have to do with anything, a fig tree? Let's start by reflecting a little bit on this question of legacy. Sirach says there are godly men whose memories are honored to this day, and then there are people who nobody thinks about and no one cares about. Sometimes when some famous person is approaching retirement, the reporters will say, well, what's your legacy? What's your signature achievement? And the famous person, the CEO or the president or whatever, will say, well, I accomplished this. I did this, and this is how people will remember me. It's usually nonsense, because we have no control over how people remember us, and what we think is our signature achievement might not have anything to do with what people remember, if they remember anything at all. Most people, by far most people, are completely forgotten after a couple of generations. And even the famous people are not necessarily famous for what they think they accomplished. Their bill that passed into law, or their great achievement. Very often, people are remembered, if they're remembered at all, they're remembered for something that happened during their lifetime that they didn't do. Oh, they lived while this disaster took place, or this war took place, or so-and-so was assassinated. It has nothing to do with the achievements of the person. So this idea of our earthly legacy is usually nonsense. Well, does that mean there's no legacy? Does it mean that our life has no meaning? No. But we should not reduce the fruit of our life to merely earthly things that don't last. Here, Sirach says, well, the things that will last are the memory of our virtues, our wealth, and our descendants. So if you have lots of virtues, and if you have lots of money, and if you have lots of descendants, then you'll be remembered. Not really. The question is not what will men remember, what will people remember, but what is in the heart of God? How have we responded to the will of God? God doesn't forget love and service and sacrifice. He doesn't forget. He's willing to forget sin if we're repentant, but he doesn't forget our efforts to participate in his great work. Even if no one notices, God notices. Think of that story of the widow who put the two little coins into the collection, remember? Nobody noticed it. Nobody cared. It wasn't worth any money anyway. Jesus noticed it and said, this woman put in more than all the others. That's an example of that. And we remember that woman to this day because she's mentioned in the Gospels. So it's a legacy that she didn't know. She didn't know that she was going to be remembered forever. She just gave herself to God. So it's an example of the real legacy instead of what usually preoccupies us. What often preoccupies us when it comes to our legacy or what people think is what we think people think of us or what we think people should think of us. That really has nothing to do with it. Okay. In the Gospel, Jesus now is, this is during Holy Week. Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. We skipped over the part about his triumphal entry, what we celebrate on Palm Sunday. But here after Palm Sunday, that moment of triumph, he has these last days to clarify what he's up to. So he goes to the temple. He finds the temple defiled. It's supposed to be a house of prayer, but instead it's a den of thieves. So he drives out the thieves. He makes a dramatic show of his authority over the house of God. And for that, he is threatened with death. Now, talk about legacy. We remember lots of things that Jesus did. We remember everything that's in the Gospels. This is one of the things that we remember, that he cleansed the temple, that he drove the money changers and the vendors out of the temple. And we remember it partly because it resulted in fierce hostility against him. He didn't do it simply to stir up hostility. He did it because this is his mission, to bring the kingdom of God into the world, to make holy this world so that it participates in the kingdom of God. It's holy. Whatever is not holy has to be driven out. Whatever is defiled has to be purified. And that's his way of saving us. In the middle of this story of his purifying and consecrating, there's this funny passage about the fig tree. Jesus is hungry, sees a tree, looks like it should be to have plenty of figs on it. He goes over there, there's nothing. He says, well, then you're worthless. Not only do you not produce fruit, you advertise like you do produce fruit. So you're exactly the opposite of what you should be. Your legacy is hypocrisy. You're just a bunch of leaves, and that is of no value to the kingdom of God. So that's the cursing of the fig tree. Now, it's not about a tree. It's a lesson. The scripture scholars would call it a parable in action. It's a lesson. Don't advertise your greatness. Don't present lots of leaves to impress the world. If you want to be fruitful, bear fruit, meaning the fruit of love, meaning the fruit of obedience to God, which will be lasting fruit. But don't put on a show that will impress people of this world, because that is the worst kind of barrenness. It's false advertising. So the lesson isn't, as I said, not about a tree. It's about how we are to live. It's a good lesson for us as we reflect on Pentecost and on the Holy Trinity. These big celebrations are not simply to make a show of what we do or what we think or even what we believe. These are celebrations of God present with us, God making himself known. That's what we celebrate. And our lives, our actions, everything about us should be directed toward this revelation. We rejoice that God has made himself known. We rejoice that God is love. And so we strive to love. We rejoice that God has filled us with his Spirit. So we strive to respond to the movements of the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. That's what it means to be a house of prayer and not a den of thieves. So guided by the scriptures, guided by Jesus' words and example, guided by the Holy Spirit, we cooperate. And this is what will result in a lasting legacy. Even if nobody notices, even if nobody cares, our lasting legacy is in the heart of the Father. And that's where we're headed.